Today is April the 27th. Today, we see that David is king. Today, as we read through the Bible in a year, please read 2 Samuel chapters 4 through 6. Now in 2 Samuel 4, Ishbosheth, who has now alienated Abner, and with Abner, Israel's army, is killed by two brothers. They go to David after they have killed Ishbosheth, murdered him at night in his bed. They go to David to tell him what they have done. David, again, just as he did with the Amalekite, says, "You killed the anointed of the Lord," and he kills them. Now, part of what this does is this does ingratiate David to the army of Israel. They see that David is an honorable man. He is not about sneaking around and killing. His mourning the death of Abner, their leader, his killing Ishbosheth's murderers, the song that he composed on the death of Saul, all of this wins Israel over. And so in 5:1, and all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We're your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. The Lord told you, 'You'll be shepherd of my people Israel. You'll be Israel's leaders.'" And so, David, the king of Judah and Simeon, is made anointed king of all of Israel. The kingdom is now united. In chapter 5, David captures Jerusalem. It's very interesting that when he does capture Jerusalem, it is called the City of David. He captures it with his personal army, not with the army of Israel and Judah. This becomes his city, his and his alone. For the rest of its history, it's called the City of David. Jerusalem becomes the political center. David now moves his palace to Israel. Verse 11, King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David with cedar timber and carpenters and stonemasons. They built David a palace. Then David makes Jerusalem the religious center in chapter 6. He moves the ark to Jerusalem. The tabernacle is constructed there. David makes plans to build a temple to house the ark. The Lord says, no, not you. Your son will do that. In the meantime, David completely defeats the Philistines at the end of chapter 5. Enjoy today as you read 2 Samuel 4 to 6.
When Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard about Abner's death at Hebron, he lost all courage, and all Israel became paralyzed with fear. Now there were two brothers, Baanah and Rechab, who were captains of Ishbosheth's raiding parties. They were sons of Rimmon, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, who lived in Beeroth. The town of Beeroth is now part of Benjamin's territory because the original people of Beeroth fled to Gibeon, where they still live as foreigners. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report from Jezreel said that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, She picked him up and fled, but as she hurried away, she dropped him and he became crippled. One day, Rechab and Baana, the sons of Rimmon from Beeroth, went to Ishbosheth's house around noon as he was taking a midday rest. The doorkeeper, who had been sifting wheat, became drowsy and fell asleep, so Rechab and Baana slipped past her. They went into the house and found Ishbosheth sleeping on his bed. They struck and killed him and cut off his head. Then, taking his head with them, they fled across the Jordan Valley through the night. When they arrived at Hebron, they presented Ishbosheth's head to David. "Look," they exclaimed to the king, "here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of your enemy Saul, who tried to kill you. Today the Lord has given my lord, the king, revenge on Saul and his entire family." But David said to Rechab and Baana, "The Lord who saves me from all my enemies is my witness. Someone once told me, Saul is dead, thinking he was bringing me good news. But I seized him and killed him at Ziklag. That's the reward I gave him for his news. How much more should I reward evil men who have killed an innocent man in his own house on his own bed? Shouldn't I hold you responsible for his blood and rid the earth of you?" So David ordered his young men to kill them, and they did. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies beside the pool in Hebron. Then they took Ishbosheth's head and buried it in Abner's tomb in Hebron. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, 'You will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader.' So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. The Jebusites taunted David, saying,
'You'll never get in here.
Even the blind and the lame could keep you out.' For the Jebusites thought that they were safe. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the City of David. On the day of the attack, David said to his troops, 'I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel.' That is the origin of the saying, 'The blind and the lame may not enter the house.' So David made the fortress his home, and he called it the City of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inward, and David became more and more powerful, because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. Then King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David, along with cedar, timber, and carpenters and stonemasons. And they built David a palace, and David realized that the Lord had confirmed him as king over Israel and had blessed his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. After moving from Hebron to Jerusalem, David married more concubines and wives, and they had more sons and daughters. These are the names of David's sons who were born in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread out across the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, "Should I go out and fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied to David, "Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. "The Lord did it," David exclaimed. "He burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means "the Lord who burst through." The Philistines had abandoned their idols there, so David and his men confiscated them. But after a while, the Philistines returned and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim. And again David asked the Lord what to do. "Do not attack them straight on," the Lord replied. "Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Baala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the Ark of God. Ahio walked in front of the ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it into the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's house and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as a leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mention will indeed think I am distinguished." So Michal and the daughters of Saul remained childless throughout their entire life.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Like, follow, and subscribe to this devotional on whatever platform you use to listen to it. If you live in the Greenwood, Indiana area and you're looking for a church, come by New Hope Church. Our service tomorrow morning will start at 10 a.m. I look forward to seeing you there. Tomorrow, we'll see that Job's words are ended.